Thank you, Shane. I'm glad you're here. Are you glad you're here? All right. If you weren't, maybe we can change that. We have a few minutes together, and hopefully we can do that. If you're joining us online, we're glad that you tuned in this morning. We always love when you're here, understand when you can't be, but I want to make sure that I make you feel welcome, too. In the past few weeks, and this is week 7 on the Who is God series and what is God like, I get the privilege today to kind of end the series on what it's like to be with God. And we've started where God is a just God, He's a merciful God, He's a caring God. And now we're going to see today what it's like to be with Him. That's kind of a hard concept to grasp, isn't it? What's it like to be with God? I know that the statistics say that over 75% of people view God as angry at them. So when I am inviting you into a relationship and to be close to Him, your first instinct may be, why? He's mad at me. And a lot of times, we can see God is always mad. I know I have always, most of my life, I have seen God as maybe mad, upset, or He's getting ready to be upset with me. And that may be you. And that may be the way, you know, it could be shaped by your family. Maybe you had a dad that was always upset with you and always distant from you. And a lot of times my view or your view of God can be shaped by the relationships around us. And so we spend time in our life trying to maybe undo that or get a proper view of who He is and who He wants to be to you and to me. And I hope today, and here's what I pray for you. I pray that God would begin to change your view of Him, of who He really is. And not a distant God, not a God that looks at you with shame, not a God that covers His face when He sees you, but a God that just desires to be with you, to be close to you in everything, in all times. And so I landed here in Matthew 11, 25 through 30 on purpose because it describes what His heart is like and that He is gentle and He's lowly. So let's jump into that. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 through 26, it says, "At that time Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will.'" So we see Jesus beginning to talk with the Father, and He's praying here. And the first thing He says in this prayer is, "God, I'm glad you hid things from people who are wise and understanding." And when He says wise and understanding, He doesn't mean smart people. What He's saying here is, "I'm glad you've hidden things from people who just are unwilling to accept who you are. In the world's eyes, they look really smart. And they may be respected in their community. And they may be a know-it-all." But Jesus is saying, "God, that's not the people you're going after as the know-it-alls." Who's He going after? He says, "You've revealed them to little children, for such was your gracious will." And you've taken these things that we're about to approach today, that we're going to talk about, and you've said, "I want the little children to hear these things." And what He's saying there is not that it's just children, but He's saying, "Come to me with the mind of a child." I have older kids, and my youngest is a teenager, just got his license, so I have a lot of need for God, even more now, right? And so, and I have kids in their 20s. I miss when they were little sometimes, not all the time, you know, because they ask a lot of questions, and that's okay. They're different now. But I miss when they were little. But what I miss the most is the complete trust they had in me. That as they get to teenager stage, that changes, right? They know a little more, and they don't talk to me as much unless they want dinner, you know? And that's the question I get a lot. "Dad, what's for dinner?" Well, you've been in your room all day. I get those four words every day, right? What's for dinner? At least he's talking, so I'll take it. But I miss the innocence sometimes of a little child that when they come to you and you tell them something, they just believe it. And that's what God is looking for, is people that come to him with no preconceived ideas or notions, and they're just ready to hear him and say, God, what do you have for me? And this was such a big deal that Jesus and the Father are talking about this. He's saying, the people that I want to have a relationship with, man, they just, here's what I need from them. You're willing to admit your need for God. I'm just willing to admit. And so he's setting us up in this passage for how we can approach him. And it goes on to say in verse 27, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So what he's saying is, me and my Father have an intimate relationship together. And here's what I'm about to do. Anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal to him, I am going to reveal someone special to you. And Jesus and the Father didn't just decide, we're going to pray and we have us and we have all this good stuff in store for you, but we're not going to give it to you. We're going to keep it to ourselves. Instead of going that direction, he said, here's what we want to do. We want to reveal these things to those people, because those people are going to need these things. Because I am a loving Father, that's what I'm choosing to do. And in this passage, we see Jesus praying here. And in this series, we're talking about what it's like to be with God. And in John 14, it says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So if you've seen Jesus, if you read the New Testament, watch his works, watch how he works with people. Watch how he walks with people and talks with people and ministers to people. That's who God is. So when Jesus is talking here, he's saying, hey, this is me. This is my Father. We are in community and commune together, and we want to bring that relationship to you and me, to the people that he knows will need this. And so in verse 28, he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and here's the promise, I will give you rest. Come to me and I'll give you rest. I like being invited to things. You know, if there's a party that I wanted to go to and I didn't get invited, I may get my feelings hurt, right? Am I the only one? There's some things I don't always want to be invited to. Same for all of us, but I love when somebody gets a hold of me. Says, hey man, you want to come hang out with me? I love those invitations. I had one of my kids call me this week and had a rough week and called me, and you could tell, man, she was just struggling, and she was very humble. You could hear very humble in her voice, and she called me, and she knows she's welcome, but she honestly asked me, she said, Dad, can I come out and hang out with you? Can I come over? You know my answer, right? Of course. And it wasn't, she had a rough week, and it wasn't even, I said, I don't even need to hear about that if you don't want to share. I just want to be with you. Just come hang out with me. That's an invitation I'm extending to her or to any of my children. I've entered grandparent world now, which is so hard to believe. Those of you who've been there, you know what I'm talking about. It's a new world that's wonderful. And I can send the kid home, and it's glorious. And I don't have to get up in the middle of the night and feed him, and I don't have to change diapers and all that good stuff. But I love being around my children. I love being around my grandson. I love being in relationship with them. I love when they invite me into things with them and say, Dad, we want to do this with you. And so here's an invitation. He's saying, come to me. And here's the requirement, okay? He says, come to me, all you who are what? You're burdened and you're tired and you're weary and you're laboring. Now, if that doesn't speak to you in here, then you're free to go, right? The reason I have confidence saying that is because it speaks to every one of us in here. Because we all deal with burdens, whether they're our own burdens, whether they're burdens placed on us by someone else. So you all walked in here with some burden today. And I've walked in here with burdens. And sometimes I walked in here with burdens so great I didn't even want to walk in here. I wanted to stay home and feel them on my own. Does anybody else feel that way? It's like, man, this is too strong. So we all are coming in with something, and Jesus' requirement for coming to him was that we have problems. Okay, so we got that. You can check that off the list. We all have burdens. He says, come to me with these burdens. And the people that he's writing to in Matthew were dealing with expectations, religious expectations, meaning you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And so when Jesus is inviting those people to come to him, just strictly saying, come to him, well, wait a minute. But we thought we had to do this first. We have to follow the law, and we have to do this, and I have to get cleaned up before I can come to him, right? I have to look like this and act like this and walk like this and dress like this, and I have all these religious expectations. My background was a background riddled with religious expectations that I could not come to God until I looked or acted like this. And when I acted or did something apart from what I was told or from what somebody told me I should do, me and God were not good. And God would just look at me with shame. And God would look at me and just shake his head like, I'm disgusted with you. And so I myself and some of you have probably lived in fear of a God that you feel is always condemning. And so I put those expectations on me, and I let other people put those expectations on me. That was one of the burdens I carried. Another burden I carry, and some of you carry, is maybe family expectations. Man, I always thought family would just work out when I was young. I found out it doesn't. And sometimes it's really hard because family can put expectations on you that you just can't bear. Traditions, expectations, you should have, why didn't you? And you feel those burdens, and what's hard is those burdens are real because you love your family, but sometimes you just have a hard time feeling the weight of what you feel like you're supposed to be doing. You feel like it's sometimes hard for us to distinguish, well, I do love, but I don't know how. And I don't know what this looks like. And so family has all these things that they expect you to do and expect you to be in order to stay in relationship with them. And it's a lot of pressure. And it's a lot of burden. And it'll keep, sometimes it's a lot of hard conversations. So he's saying, hey, you have work expectations. You have family expectations. Have you ever worked in a job you don't like? You know, I've been there. Where I just didn't even want to go to work. I was just miserable. And I've lived in that, and you've lived in that. And maybe you are dreading tomorrow morning because you are going somewhere you do not want to be. That's a burden. That's something that's weighing you down. What about money? Financial expectations. You say, I feel the pressure of having to provide. I feel the pressure of having to meet this need and that need and this need. And we're all burdened. But sometimes we're afraid to take these burdens to God. We're afraid to talk to him because maybe you're unsure of how to approach him. Like, what does that even look like? How do I approach God? Maybe you're afraid that God will reject you. Maybe you're afraid, I don't have it all together, and I just can't come to him because I'm not where I need to be. When I could get where I need to be, that's the narrative that runs in my head sometimes. If I can just get to here, then I can go talk to God. Right? If I can just get a few things straightened out. Or maybe God's been represented to you in a negative way and you're just flat out scared of him. Man, if God's like my dad was, I want no part of that. Man, if God's like this person who maybe was a spiritual leader in your life, is like, man, they were kind of hard. If God's like that, I don't want anything to be with him. So what we're trying to do, and what God is trying to do, is say, I want you to take all these burdens, all these preconceived ideas, and I actually want to show you who I really am and how I want you to be with me. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So I think it's funny that God says, come to me, and I'm going to give you a tool to work with, right? It's like, wait a minute. I was coming to you for rest, and you want me to do more work, right? Because a yoke was what they would take, and they would take two oxen and yoke them together. And one would usually be an experienced one, and one would usually be a less experienced oxen, and they would hook them together to pull heavy loads together. And so God is saying, hey, if you come to me, I'm going to give you a tool to work with. And that just seems counterproductive, doesn't it? It's like more work. I already have enough work. So you want me to continue to do more? And what God is actually saying is, I know that life is always going to be work. We don't get out of that, right? Bills still have to get paid. Families still need to eat. Homes still need to be paid for. God knew that work would never stop. What he's saying here is, I want you to take off your yoke, and I want you to exchange your yoke for mine. Because your yoke is all this expectation, and your yoke is this, and your yoke is that. And here's what I'm inviting you into, is I want you to wear my yoke. I want you to wear something that's easier instead of what people are putting on you. In Matthew 23:4, it says, they tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. See, these people were having burdens laid upon them, but nobody coming to help lift them. People are saying, do this and do that. And every time I turn around, there's another expectation from someone or somebody that says, I need you to do this. I want you to do this. You should be doing this. And I'm getting tired just saying it. And what God is saying is, oh, slow down. I've got something that's so much better for you that you can begin to relax in me and in who I am and not who everybody else wants you to be. But if you will follow me and if you'll take what I'm offering you, it'll change your life. See, Jesus wasn't calling them to a life of no work and indulgence. There's still a yoke to bear, but he said, I have the idea of a disciple and the master, and that's why he said, take my yoke and learn from me. Instead of learning from yourself, Jesus is saying, come learn from me. I am not a very good teacher for myself. I think I am, right? I think I know what to do, but oftentimes I do not. And oftentimes I mess things up. And if you know me, you don't have to respond to that. But I don't do it right all the time. And Jesus was saying, I know that. So what I want to do is I want you to put this yoke on with me and understand that I'm going to carry most of the load. And when we need to go a certain direction, I want you to go that direction with me. I think that sounds good. One of my scariest prayers to pray is, God, direct my day and take me where you want me to go. Because he will. And it's different than my plans. I don't like that. I like my plans, right? I like checklists. Any checklists are in here? I like knowing my tasks are done and I can move forward. What happens when he says, hey, yoke yourself to me and let's go this way? I sometimes want to pull the other direction. He said, no, just come with me, because the way you're doing it, some of us are exhausted because we are continuing to walk in our own path, in our own plan, and it leads to exhaustion. Well, Jesus said, hey, there's a weight to life. There is always going to be a weight to life, but you can bear that weight with me. If you'll just come and walk with me, and if you'll learn with me, and you'll spend that time and slow down. In Luke chapter 10, we see a story of Mary and Martha. And it says, now as they were on their way, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha, here's me, Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Like, she's mad. She's like, look at her. She's just sitting there. Tell her to help me. And she's frustrated. And said, but the Lord answered her. And here's what he says. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. What was necessary was to sit at the feet of Jesus. Because Martha was just running all over the place. And she was like doing this and that. And all she could see was what needed to be done. And she saw her sister over there doing nothing. And it made her mad. And Jesus just loved her and said, Martha, look at me. Martha, take a deep breath. I need you to slow down. And I need you to sit with me. It is very hard to stop and sit with God. My mind races all the time. And it takes me a while for my mind and my heart to settle so I can be with the Father. But Jesus said it's necessary. And you have to do it. He said she's choosing the one thing that's most important. He goes, you're troubled, you're anxious. And when he says that, I'm like, man, you're speaking right to me. You're speaking to my heart. And here's why, when we keep reading this scripture, it says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You notice he didn't snap at Martha. I'm like, chill out, calm down. That wouldn't have gone well, by the way. Calm down. Listen, come to me. Why? Because I am gentle. I am meek. I am humble. I am forgiving. I am considerate. Is that the God you know? Is that the God in your mind when you think of him? He's gentle, loving, considerate, and just kind. He's a dad that loves you and will just put his arm around you. Right? He wants to sit with you and to be with you. And when we see this term gentle and lowly, I find it interesting because the book of Matthew is written from the perspective of Jesus as king and as Messiah. And so a king has ultimate authority and rule, right? What they say goes. There is no question that he's the king. But he presents himself as a king who is approachable. He says, I may be king and Lord of all, but you need to know you can come sit in my lap. That I am gentle enough that when you come near me, you can feel my love for you. You can feel my embrace for you. I am gentle. I'm lowly. I'm meek. I think that's my desire. I was talking earlier in the first service. I feel bad for my kids, right? Because I have a daughter that's 24, almost 25, and I feel like she got bad dad, you know, new dad. Dad that didn't know anything. And dad that was like, I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm impatient, and all this other stuff. And I have a great relationship with my oldest daughter. And I'm going to get to hang out with her this week, and I'm just really excited about it. And our relationship, as I've watched over the years, has changed. She's actually seen me change, and I've seen her change. And what's happened is God has allowed us to have a calm relationship, and she knows, sorry you got bad dad, honey. Hopefully this dad is better, right? I'm gentle and lowly with her. I thought my kids wouldn't need me in their 20s, but they just need me a different way. They need someone to come to them and just be around them and just be with them. They don't need my correction. I'm not waiting to get them in my presence so I can tell them, hey, you need to do this and you need to do that. I just want to be with them. I just want to eat food with them. I just want to fellowship with them. That's what I want. I want to hang out and be with you. If you need my advice, I'm here. But I'm not here for that as much as I just want to be with you. And that's what God is inviting us into. I just want to be with you. When Jesus sees our suffering and hurting, he moves towards us, not away from us. And this is the way I would picture this passage, as Jesus praying, and as if he's talking to us, and he would say this to you, and let these words land on you as they may. He says, Jesus saying, I see your yoke, and it looks like it hurts. It looks like it's weighing you down. I want to be with you in everything that you're carrying. I'm not going to force myself on you, but my heart towards you is kind, forgiving, meek, and humble. I want to be with you in every moment, good and bad. Would you trade your yoke of self-reliance for my yoke that's easy? Let me lead off and carry those burdens for you. My yoke is so much easier, and my burdens are so much lighter than what you're living through now. Let me carry the load. Let me carry the burden. Give that to him. In Hebrews, he says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. In Hebrews 5:2, it says he can deal gently with the ignorant and the wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. And I can tell you, I can be ignorant and I can be wayward, and we all can. And what does it say? He can deal gently. The Greek word in both of these passages, sympathize, deal gently, means they're a common root word, meaning he wants to sympathize and deal gently with you. Meaning when you mess up, you don't have to be afraid to come to God, because he wants to deal gently with you and he wants to be with you. So when you come near to him and say, I really messed up, he's not saying, I thought we were done with this. I thought you got over this. I thought you knew better. He said, no, I'm just glad you're back. I'm just glad you're back. He already knows. He already knows what we've done. He already knows what we've been through. And yet he still chooses to have and desires to be in a relationship that is close with me. And I don't have to hang my head in shame when I come to the Father. Just like the prodigal son's father, no matter what he did, ran out to meet him. The Father wants to meet us right where we're at. And it says you'll find rest for your souls. It's hard for my soul and your soul to rest. It's hard for this being to rest. But in this passage, that's what he's promising. If you will come to me, just that simple action of approaching the Father, he said, my benefits and my gifts to you are way beyond what you can imagine. And I want you to find rest for your soul. I want you to be able to sleep again. I want to relieve some of that anxiety that you're living through. I want your mind to rest. I want your heart to rest. And if you will come, I will give you rest, not just a vacation. Vacations are a lot of work, right? I'm always tired when I get back. Not just a nap. I've had naps and I've still felt tired. And I love a good nap, but it doesn't rest my soul. And what he's saying is, I'm not just trying to give you a break from work or a break from life, because life doesn't stop. I'm trying to give you a break in life, mentally and spiritually. And I want your soul to be at rest, so when you walk with me, you can walk through the hard, and in the middle of the storm, you can still be at peace. Man, I want that. And I know that you do too. And in Psalm 23, it says, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Man, I can try as I want to do all the restoring I want to my soul. And I can read all the good books and eat all the good food and do all that stuff that I need to do, maybe just to help my body and my mind. No one can restore your soul but God. Only God can do it, and he has to be the one to do it. I can't say, God, will you fix this part? Or will you do this part? Or kind of, here's what I need. No, he has to do the restoring, and he can do the restoring when I do what he asks and says, come to me. And so when I see him, I'm hoping that you and I can see God as a God that's like doing this. Come here. Come to me. Can you come here? I want to be, come here. Like, come here. Not, come here, right? No, come here. I want to be with you. You're carrying a lot of burdens. Can you come with me and walk with me and maybe try walking my pace for a little while? Maybe try going at my speed. I like to get a lot accomplished and somewhat good at it and then somewhat miserable while doing it. Because I'm not walking at the pace that he wants me to walk. And this goes against everything I want to do. Because I want to go and move and set the world on fire. And God says, no, I want you to slow down and come hang out with me. I want to restore your soul. I want to change who you are on the inside. Augustine said, you have made us for yourself, O Lord. Our heart is restless until it rests in you. My heart can't rest until I take the time to be with the Father, alone, quiet, and wait for him to restore me. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the yoke that he gives me and you, he's saying, hey, this is easy. I said, but it's so hard right now. I know. I can relate with you. I know it's hard. And sometimes it's hard for me to believe this, but it's here. And God says, I want it to be easy for you, me and light. I want these burdens to feel that you're being carried through them with me. It's easy and it's light. His description of easy and light to me matches the description of his heart. I'm gentle and lowly, therefore I will make it easy and light. In Psalm 18, David said, "You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great." It wasn't your strong hand made me great, or your criticism made me great. It's your gentleness is what made me great. The fact that you were willing to be gentle with me, and where I could feel like I could approach you and be around you, and my soul could rest in you. See, that's what makes a difference. You know somebody who's gentle? You want to be around them. Why? Because your soul and your body and your mind can rest. And God is gentle. And he talks quietly. And he doesn't yell. And he doesn't lose his temper. He's just like, "Hey, can we just talk?" And his voice is calming. And his heart is calming. And then when we can relate and sit with him, then we can become who he desired for us to be. In the Message Bible, it reads like this: "Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." I want to ask a few questions like we do every week, and just some reflection questions. And I have five questions. And you can take a picture, because there's a lot to write here if you want to remember them. You may not relate to them all, but I want you just to relate to whatever God is speaking to you when we put these up. There just may be one that really sticks out. I want you to explore around that. First one is, are you afraid to approach God? And if you are, why? Ask him. "God, why am I afraid of you?" Number two, what would it look like for you to take off your yoke and put on God's yoke? Practical, "God, what does that look like for me to switch yokes?" Number three, in your own life, have you experienced God as gentle and lowly? And if not, how have you experienced him? What is your experience of who God is right now? Number four, do you know of someone you could spend time with who seems to have a soul that's at rest? And would you be open to talking with them about where their peace comes from? I can almost guarantee you, don't hold me to this, but if you find somebody who has a soul that you think has a soul at rest, let them tell you about their relationship and their walk with God. Let them tell you their story of life, because usually it's chaos. Usually, like, "I didn't even know. You seem so calm." That's because God can take our souls and put them at rest. So find somebody and ask them these questions. Number five, what steps can you take this week to lay down your burdens and trust in Jesus? I'm gonna pray in just a minute, but I don't want to leave you without an opportunity to connect with God. And the way we do that here, we have prayer partners, and they want to pray with you. So hear me, you are not an inconvenience. And they do value you, and they value your time, and they want to be with you. And if you have any questions today, baptism, even talking about stuff we've talked about this morning and who God is and salvation and getting to know him better, I'm going to invite you to come up here, make that hard step forward because it is hard, but I want to invite you to come talk to somebody and experience God through them that is gentle and lowly and say, I want to know who he is. I want to know that God. So I'm going to pray and then we'll have the opportunity to do that. Father, thank you that you are gentle and that you are lowly, that you're approachable. And you're approachable because you desire to be, not because we earned it, but you just desire to be in this close, intimate relationship with us that's real, that's loving. That, God, I just ask that if there's somebody here that doesn't know you, God, that they would know you today. If there's people here, God, I know there are, that don't know you as a loving, gentle Father. God, I pray that this time together that we've had would totally shift their view of you, that they would begin to get to experience you in a new way and know how much you want to be with them, how much you love them, how much you want to walk through that hard thing with them and not let them carry it on their own. God, just be with hurting hearts today and hurting souls and meet them where they're at. And don't let us leave here today without knowing you and knowing who you want to be with us and around us. God, it's in your name I pray. Amen.